Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this new week. I hope that everybody had a wonderful weekend, and if you're in the United States, or if you are fond of the United States, I hope that you celebrated Independence Day. Of course, that was Saturday. Did it feel like the 4th of July to you? I don't know. This year was different, I guess. I think it's the same thing with Easter, with everything else, that these days that we kind of set aside to enjoy. It just didn't feel the same. But nevertheless, it was a good weekend for us. Yesterday went well. If you were with us, it was our second week back to having services in person. And so still working out some kinks of things. And I got to say, if you join us online only, okay, a fix is coming. As I understand it, the sound quality wasn't very good yesterday either. I got something yesterday, or I ordered something last night, and hopefully it will be here in time for this coming Sunday. Good morning, Jenny. Good morning, Alice. But hopefully it will be here this coming Sunday, Lord's Day, so the sound quality online for our online worship services should be much better than it has been in the past. But we're just going to keep on chugging along and doing our best to make sure that what we offer is of a high quality. So I can work on the sound quality, the message. Well, you get what you get. But nevertheless, we are delighted to be back with you this week. And for those of you that came to church yesterday, hey, Shirley, good to see you this morning. For those of you that came to church yesterday in person, it's wonderful to see you. For those of you who joined us on here or on sermon audio, again, thank you so much for being a part of our time together. We're going to get through this thing, all right? Trial and error, but we are getting there. So, today, we are back to our regular daily devotionals. Oh, also, I got to say thank you for last week for dealing with the non-live daily devotionals and for finding them just the same. Now, this week, we're continuing on. We're in Luke chapter 16. So go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 16 with me as we come to the parable of the shrewd manager. Now, the last time we were together, we saw the parable of the prodigal, or the parable of the lost son, or, as we talked about last time, the parable, as some call it, of the two lost sons. Because at the end of the parable, the son that stayed home, the faithful son, well, we find out he's not so faithful to begin with, and he's not going into the great celebration. Does he come to his senses? Does he enter the great celebration? I don't know. But I know this much. I know that the Lord is perfectly comfortable leaving parables on a cliffhanger kind of note. And so we leave them where he leaves them. And that's okay. Today we come to an odd one, though. Luke chapter 16, the parable of the shrewd manager. The reason I say that it's odd is because we gotta be careful here, okay? There's a few principles that we need to always use when we're reading the Bible. One of which is, let Scripture interpret Scripture, okay? And to nuance that a little bit more, always interpret the obscure in light of the clear. In other words, when you come to something in the Scripture and you find yourself scratching your head and you say to yourself, wait a second, is Jesus teaching fill in the blank? Before you say and conclude, yes, obviously Jesus is teaching fill in the blank, always make sure that it lines up with the rest of Scripture, especially when it comes to parables, okay? Because remember what a parable is. It is a teaching device. It is an earthly story that points to a greater heavenly meaning. And sometimes the greater heavenly meaning is not just on the surface level ready to be picked up and taken with us. Sometimes you have to look beyond the language of the parable and see the real point that Jesus is making. That is the case with where we come to today. Now, I'll explain more. I hope it'll make sense. Good morning, Christine. I hope it'll make sense as we go along as to why we need to be very careful in plodding along and formulating theological ideas and principles based on the content of parables alone. Always evaluate God's word by God's word. All right, so Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 1, this is what it says. It says, Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give us an account of your management because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. That's a lot of olive oil. 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with very much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. All right, now we're going to stop reading right there. As I said before, when you're reading the parables, Calvin talked about this in his commentary on Luke chapter 16. He talked about how we shouldn't get wrapped up and base our theological system off of every minute detail of every single parable. Okay? The reason that he says this is because Jesus is making a definite point here. But when we make a conclusion about every single portion of the parable, we can come away with a theology that doesn't match up with the rest of God's word, number one. And number two, we can come up with a meaning that Jesus never intended in the first place. Now, what am I talking about here? Let's talk about the parable itself and what happens. The story is simple, right? There's a master that has a manager, all right? We don't know how, but the master found out that the manager of his property wasn't doing a good job. He calls him to task on it, and at the last minute before he sacked, the manager, who is called the shrewd manager, decides to endear himself to his master's debtors. The idea is simple. As he said, he's too old to dig and he's too ashamed to beg. So what's he going to do? Well, he's going to make really good friends with a lot of other people so that when he's destitute, they'll welcome him into their homes. Now, furthermore, after this, the master commends the manager for the fact that he is a shrewd manager. If you stop there, there are several things that one could conclude and make theological statements based on these things. Everything from you work your way into heaven, and people can take other people to heaven with them, and you may live a ratty life, but if you make good friends with people that have been generous, then when they get to heaven, maybe you can go to heaven and live with them, to the fact that if you take the master and you say that the master represents God, you can say that God is commending lying and thievery and trickery and all sorts of things. And that's not the point. All right. This is why Calvin talked about not getting wrapped around the axle on every single minute detail of the parable. Don't look for a deep theological meaning in every bit of the parable. Instead, listen to what Jesus said the point really is. The point is this. First off, there's really four main things that are going on here. First off, Jesus is comparing who he calls children of the light, those who are in the light. All right, most certainly he is referring to those who belong to him. And what he's saying there, first off, and this is a practical reality, and he's saying in a lot of ways the world is much more shrewd than his own followers. In other words, the world understands investment. What does he mean by this? Well, y'all, the issue is that of stewardship. Really, that's what this parable comes down to. It's about stewardship. And this leads to point number two. Judgment comes to poor stewards. What Jesus is talking about here in terms of befriending others and their reward kind of melding on over to you, what he's really pointing to is the reality that if you're a poor steward, well, and steward means if you do not do a good job at taking care of that which the Lord gives you, judgment comes as a result of that. And that's why we get into all this business at the end here, where it's, if you can't be trusted with a little bit, you're never going to be trusted with much. And if you can't be trusted with something that belongs to something, if you can't be trusted with property that belongs to someone else, you'll never be given property of your own. What the point of this parable is that we ought to be generous with the money that we have, with the things that have been entrusted to us, because the overall point is nothing is ours anyway. Do you realize that? You know, I don't remember, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Shenandoah or not. Jimmy Stewart, right? I know I'm going to butcher the quote, but I remember seeing, I've only seen it a few times, but at the beginning of the movie, they kind of gather around to pray, and he doesn't really know why he's praying, because he's worked all these things out and he's done all of these things. Well, he comes back around by the end of the movie, of course, but the reality is that a lot of us live as though everything we have is actually ours, as though we earned it, as though it's the result directly of our hard work, when in reality, everything that we have is a gift from God. Even the fact that you and I this whole time, I'm guessing most of us have just been breathing and not even really thinking about it. We went to sleep last night. We got up this morning. The very life that we enjoy, that's not ours. It wasn't guaranteed to us that we would have today, yet God gave it to us just the same. The quality of life that we enjoy, most certainly, I'm not saying that hard work doesn't come into it. This is not a politician thing where we're saying, you didn't do this. That's not what this is about. But in reality, the strength that you have to work, that comes from God. The fact that you have the jobs that you have, or however it is you make your income, that's all from the Lord. And we can't lay claim to that. It's all part of God's blessings to us, you see. And because everything that we have comes from God, whatever we enjoy is a direct result of God's blessings to us, because it's not really ours, we don't have any right to hoard it. We don't have any right to proceed through life as one who is not generous. Now, this is not to say that you shouldn't save money. It's not to say that you shouldn't be frugal. But as Calvin noted when he wrote on this parable, there's nobody so frugal that they still don't waste money. Because remember, y'all, sin works in two different ways. There's sins that you commit, you know, things that you actually do that God says, don't do this, and that can certainly be the case with money. But also, there's sins of omission, where there's things that you ought to be doing but that you fail to do. And guess what? The same thing applies to money. So it's not only a matter of you taking your 401k and cashing in to go buy a bunch of scratch-off tickets, and I hope that you don't do that. But nevertheless, we're not just talking about things that you shouldn't do with your money. We're talking here about things that you ought to be doing with your money that you're not doing, that I'm not doing, because none of us is perfect with this regard. That's the point of this parable, that the Lord calls us to generosity here. And no, it doesn't buy us a place in heaven. And no, if we're generous to other people and they make it to heaven and we don't, they don't get to call us up. That's not what this is about. This is about being wise. Remember, the overall point here is that what Jesus talked about there, how there are many in the world that are far more shrewd than those that are in the light. So really, this is Jesus kind of saying, hey, guys, wake up. And pay attention to what investment really is. And what we ought to be investing in is not in this world, but we ought to be investing in eternity. So keep that in mind. But then the overall point at the very end, the last point I'm going to make, you know, Jesus, remember who he's talking to here. Remember what's going on. He's dealing with the Pharisees, right? And the way this parable ends, it ends with them sneering at Jesus. Now, this is after Jesus has said, no one can serve two masters, that famous, famous line. And this, too, is part of cultural literacy. You hear this in movie quotes. People probably don't know that they're quoting Luke 16. But nevertheless, you hear this idea all over the place. Jesus says you can't love God, you can't love money, you can't serve God, and you can't serve money. You got to pick one. And then when the Pharisees heard this, they sneered at Jesus. You know, that word, it's almost onomatopoeic when you sneer. You know, it kind of sounds like what it is. But this last line here, verse 15, is such a powerful one. And again, going back to Luke 15, I think there's a reason Jesus ends parables the way he does. There's a poignancy to them. Verse 15, he said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight." Now we know from Luke, from Matthew, we know from Jesus' teachings that what the Pharisees valued was the outside appearance. They valued pride. They valued the esteem of other people. They valued lineage. They valued money, most definitely. They were very greedy. And what Jesus says here ought to be this point that we take away. That what's valued in men's eyes, in other words, what is currency in the world around us, in God's eyes, that is detestable. And with that in mind, it ought to affect the way that you and I proceed through life. Again, Jesus uses a term here to describe his people, and it's that we are children of light. You know, there are many ways to show that we belong to the Lord. But one of those ways is in our generosity and how we treat other people. And this isn't even just about money. It's about how you invest in people. Yes, money is important, but remember the much larger point. This is one of investing in the kingdom, investing in eternity. So, maybe you're listening to say, well, I don't have a lot of money to give other people. Well, remember, money is a relative concept here, a relevant concept. But nevertheless, aside from that, you have time, you have prayers, you have emotional energy. And no, I'm not talking about crystal emotional energy. What I'm talking about is really opening yourself to people, really investing in their lives. Y'all, the Lord calls us to be generous people. Why? Because we have received generosity that is wild beyond our ability to comprehend. You can't get more generous than what God has done for us. He gave us the very best thing he could when he sent his one and only son to die for us. But not only that, you know what God is doing right now for those who belong to him? God is doing the very best thing he can do for us. You know what that is? No, I'm not just talking about taking us to heaven eventually. What God is doing for us, the way that he is doing the very best thing he can for us, is that he is making us like himself. You know, that's this whole work of sanctification. There's your big theological term for the day. The idea that we die to ourselves and we live unto Christ. And if you've never thought about it that way, think about it. What is the best thing that God can do for you? Why? The best thing God can do for you is to make you like himself. And that's exactly what he's doing. It takes time and it doesn't find its completion until either Jesus returns and we're taken to heaven or when we make our own exit and God calls us home. But the day is coming when you're going to be like him fully. And that's the best thing God can do. And y'all, the generosity of God is unsurpassed. But because we've been shown such generosity, we, in turn, ought to be generous to one another. We ought to be loving. We ought to be a picture of God's generosity to us. So, keep these things in mind. It's Monday morning. I think that's a pretty good way to start the week as we proceed together. I'd like to thank you all for being part of this time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our God and our Father, what a blessing it is to be together today. And we thank you so much for your kindness and your generosity and for all the things you've done for us that we could never possibly repay. Help us in turn to be generous, to be loving, to be a reflection of you to the hurting world around us. I pray this and all things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, again, I'd like to thank you for being a part of this time. Lord willing, I will be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. live. And if anything comes up, then, you know, you'll find the video on here, Lord willing, unless something really bad happens. If you come on in the morning and I'm not there live, look for the video. All right. Until then, I hope you all have a wonderful day.